T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You want some good news? I got your good news right here. Hey, Lee.
Hey there.
If you watch what is going on right now with trucking, it is amazing. You can look at this and pretty much gauge that those who sell and move goods are planning for an explosion in the economy. Not an implosion, an explosion. Like a capitalistic explosion. These numbers are unbelievable. Now, I'm not talking about the stock market. I'm talking about the economy. Two stats that you need to know. Orders for rigs, like, you know, the big rigs.
Yeah.
Shipping. That's big how your stuff gets here, right?
Yeah.
That goes down the highway. Do you realize they're up 95% over last year?
Actually, yes, because I've been following this.
This is insane. Okay. Just absolutely insane when you start looking at these numbers. So that's in anticipation of needing to move the goods that Americans will have demand for. Freight haul orders right now are 450,000. That is a the folks who manufacture those in the U.S., 9-month backlog. That easily breaks a 14-year-old record. Which is, it's just incredible.
When that also means there's going to be jobs for
truckers.
Truck drivers.
Speaking of which, largest U.S. trucking company projects, get this, 20% wage increase for big rig drivers.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll take a 20% raise anytime you want to give it.
Yeah, maybe you need to get a part-time job driving a rig.
I've thought about it.
Yeah. I always thought that'd be a great way to see the country in retirement.
Yeah.
I thought it would be awesome. I actually... Yeah. Met a couple like doing that at a vineyard, and that's what they're doing to fund their retirement. And then they're making like 6 figures driving all over the country, and they would stop at vineyards. And my husband and I like to road trip a lot, and I was like, why would you get paid for this? That would be cool. But anyway, they're going to have to find some retirees to haul this stuff around. And all of this is being driven by an anticipation in increased consumerism, which the left will tell you is evil. But increased consumerism is what causes the creation of what? Say it with me.
Jobs.
Not just jobs for corporate CEOs, although they get jobs too. But no, for regular average kinds of people, the kinds of people the left claims they stand for, but they really don't. And so, I mean, when you look at a 95% increase in the orders for rigs, for the big rigs, that's even in Common Core math, that's like double. You know what I'm saying? Like almost double. I mean, that they are expecting to double the economic activity in this country when it comes to shippable goods. There's no other way to put it. So whatever you're hearing from the left and why we're going to crash, maybe the Fed will manage to crash the housing market and take the economy down with it. That's the stock market down with it. That's the hope and the goal. But left to its own devices, these folks who order goods, who ship goods, who send goods, who plan for the movement of goods. I mean, they follow the economy closely. They know it better than anybody.
Yes.
They're like the canary in the coal mine. And so to see this and to see it across the industry, it's not just one company ordering a bunch more rigs. It's all across the industry.
Right.
They're looking at demand. They see the demand before we do, sometimes a year before we do, and they're ordering the rigs in response. I mean, this is... It's another stunning economic statistic. I should have put it in the earlier in the show. In fact, I'll probably do it again tomorrow. But this is the kind of stuff that you will not read about in the mainstream media in terms of it being connected
right.
to, okay, well, why are they ordering rigs? Who knows? Look over there, a squirrel.
Yeah.
They just like rigs.
Yeah.
Also, they're going to park them and do nothing. No, it's in response to the massive economic activity they are anticipating. Yeah.
People don't buy expensive pieces of equipment
very expensive.
To just have them sit around. Yeah.
Yeah. It's...
Oh, yeah, because those things are well over 100 grand a piece.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
And that's just the tractor, not the including the trailer, which, you know, those are expensive, too.
Yep. Mike in Spartanburg. Hey, Mike.
Good morning, Jarrah. I am a retired professional over-the-road truck driver. I began my truck driving career in 1989, and you are right. And the trucking industry is hurting so bad for drivers now that they're letting their standards down on who they're hiring.
No, that's not good.
No, that's not good, because the reason I say that is a lot of the new electronic devices that are out now, as far as navigational aids, are dumbing down the industry. And as far as the industry goes, you're right about the manufacturing. It's got to get to the distribution center and from the distribution center to the store somehow. And that way is by truck.
You know, you're...
I was a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I was a trainer for many years, and I got out of training because they have let their standards down. They're not as strict as they used to be. And when it comes to driving one of those trucks, you are basically in charge of an 80,000-pound ticking time bomb. If you're not in control of that rig at all times, you can do major damage with it.
Oh, well, yeah.
That's why, you know, as far as a lot of the trucking companies are ordering trucks with automatic transmissions so they don't have to teach the new driver how to shift it. And they're putting navigational aids in the trucks, whereas the drivers don't have to learn how to read a road atlas. And that is basic trucking 101, is knowing how to read and interpret a motor carrier's grade road atlas. Not a road atlas you would buy for a car.
Yeah, and you can tell the reason for that too, Mike, is because you don't want to be, you know, watching your Nuvi or Garmin, as I have. I don't have it in my car because my car's so old. When you're in a major rig and you're trying to figure out, wait, the exit is where again? Oh no! Yeah. Thank you, Mike, for your phone call. Do you know what he just said there, though? Because he has the other part of this, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
He mentioned manufacturing.
Yeah.
You got more manufacturing in the U.S. That means we're making goods here. Guess what? You need rigs to move them, whether you're moving them for shipping overseas or you're moving them for use here.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, it's an environment just like a, you know, an environment you'd find in a forest. One thing, affects another. And to see this, I mean, literally doubling in a year the orders for trucking and truck rigs, just to ship all the stuff that they anticipate will be shipped. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, and, you know, it also has an impact for jobs in South Carolina because of the Port of Charleston and also the inland port in Greer, which is setting records every single month on the amount of things that are shipped through the Port of Charleston and also through, especially through the inland port here.
Yep. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see what all this economic booming means for the port, too. I mean, we're just really well positioned as a state.
I know one thing. There's a lot of BMWs that go out of the Port of Charleston.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because people overseas are buying them. That's why. they keep making them more. In fact, there's a new model that's just come out. They're already working on it there. The BMW X7 is a new three-row SUV. Huge. I mean, this sucker is big and very expensive. But it'll be for domestic sales here, but as well as overseas.
Yeah. So, I mean, just one more indicator of what is to come if the Fed doesn't manage to crack it. Texter writes, we love you here at Parker Bin's Vineyard. Oh, I don't know if they know I love them there, too. We've been through there.
All right.
Yeah, my husband and I are on a bucket list trip. We want to hit all 180 vineyards between here and the northern state line of Virginia.
Sounds like a grape trip.
It's a grape trip. Yeah, it's a grape plan, right?
Yes.
It's my bucket list.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, the thing I love about vineyards is that they're always in beautiful locations because wine, grapes do, but you can grow them elsewhere, but grapes do best on a hill.
Yeah, they're picky.
You are just a big cheese ball today. What am I going to do with you? Send you back
today,
to the newsroom.
What do you mean today?
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Gramps. So anyway, you know what? I'm loving this, calling Lonzo Gramps, by the way. Lee's not a Gramps yet, but Lonzo is walking around. He doesn't look old enough to be a grandpa.
Oh, I know.
So I am having so much fun harassing him and watching him like grimace, you know?
You know, we actually do a segment on the Upstate Pulse Saturdays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m.
Shameless plug.
Who knew,
we call
right?
Old
okay.
News,
yeah.
Which is news that's designed to make you feel old. And that was one of my topics that I brought up recently was that Lonzo is now a grandfather. And not only that, his son, who is 23, 24, somewhere there, is now an uncle. That'll make you feel old.
Wait. That makes sense. Because his daughter just had a beautiful baby. Yeah. Which is cool. And don't you love how Lonzo tried to sneak around with the baby? I didn't want to tell anybody about it. I wouldn't put the baby online. Nothing. It was like there was no baby. Because he knew. He knew what was coming.
Yeah.
We would mock him endlessly
yes.
about his grandpa status.
Yep,
and of absolutely. Course, as soon as I found out what was the first thing I did, I went straight for his Facebook page to mock him.
Good. Good.
In a good way.
Job,
in a nice way.
Job well done.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that stunning stat. Two of them, actually, I promised you. Excuse me, off-air coughing fit. Sorry. Oh, I hate when that happens. Wow. New statistic. I've been watching this for years. And this really is the sort of degrading of the American family. 40% of U.S. babies are now born out of wedlock. That is a stunning stat. 40% of U.S. Births now happen outside of marriage. That's up from just, this is the speed of this. That's up from just 10% outside of birth in 1970. Sorry, just 10% outside of marriage, not outside of birth. Okay, so out of wedlock births gone from 10% in 1970 to 40% today. Where are we going with this? I mean, how many people seriously are going to do this? Look to Europe. The future ain't bright. You want to know what liberals here are going to do and what people here are going to do with the popular culture? Look at Europe. Might be bad here, 40% of U.S. babies born out of wedlock. In Europe, in the European Union, it's 60. Good God. 60% of births take place out of wedlock? That is a recipe for disaster. How can you duplicate a healthy union if you've never seen one? How's that going to work? You can't. It breaks a family. Now, you can if you're like my husband and his father died of cancer tragically when he was just barely old enough to remember him. And guess what? Everybody around him's like, you know, married. His friends' parents are married and his mother marries his stepfather. So I mean, there's still plenty of marriages to model after around you to have an intact family, right? When you start hitting 60%, you don't know what an intact family looks like. You don't know how to have that relationship because you haven't seen it. You can't come back from that as a society. Can't you see it, all of this? This attack on men? This is to drive a wedge between men and women and get women dependent on the government. They want you so alienated from men, and men from women, too, that it becomes impossible to have a relationship and the family is fractured. They want to replace the church with the government. That's what the left does. That's their religion. They worship the government. They worship the party and the state. And they want to replace the other union. First union is you and your church. The other union that most threatens them, and that's marriage. They cannot have you more loyal to your spouse than you are to them. They have to have you depending on them. They need you good and poor. And they want you not only to not come from an intact family. They want to make sure you never create one later. That your hatred and distrust of men is so deeply ingrained. That's what all of this is about. It's organized, it's planned, it's deliberate. Good golly. European Union is 60% of births now take place out of wedlock. This is what gets interesting, okay? In most cases, the births are to unmarried cohabitating couples. So this is not a one-night stand thing. And in the U.S., half of all cohabitating couples are under the age of 35. Since they're taking longer to marry, those partners are reversing an old trend and having kids before marriage. A UN Population Fund advisor adds the trend will continue. We can't go back to the 50. Oh, why not? Why can't we? Oh, I bet we could. In terms of valuing marriage, anyway, I'm going to talk about overall. I bet we could go back to the 50s with a little societal pressure in the right direction. You know, this is a mentality too. This is a mentality. When you see this all over the place, right? This is not a woman who accidentally got pregnant. You don't accidentally get pregnant at 32 with your cohabitating partner. You don't do that. Do you remember a couple of years ago, the stunning stats? Because remember when we were growing up, it was all, what were the PSAs about? Teen pregnancy. You know, don't get pregnant, use a condom, blah, blah, blah. Right? And then a stunning reversal happened. It used to be most of the out-of-wedlock births were to who? Teenagers. They made a mistake. Not having a child. Child is never a mistake. But, I mean, you know, sexually, they kind of didn't, you know what I mean. Right. And then there was a reversal that happened a few years ago, and I was just aghast by it. Because the largest number of out-of-wedlock single mom pregnancies flipped for the first time from teens to women in their mid to late 20s. Women who should know better. You know how to use the birth control. I mean, you've got, yeah. In other words, these are not women who had an accident. Oops, forgot to take the pill. No, this was deliberate. This is a lifestyle. This is a lifestyle. Why you can't criticize? It's a lifestyle. You cannot criticize lifestyle choices. That's devastating. You know what I don't understand about this mentality either? And I'm not criticizing you if you have done this, okay? I get there's a lot of libertarian people in this audience, and you have views that are different than mine. I get that, okay? I please don't misunderstand. But just from a logical perspective, here's what I don't understand. You're cohabitating, right? So you don't want a long-term commitment there. You don't want to make a long-term commitment to each other. You're in this for as long as it's good for you. Okay. Which is a bigger long-term commitment? Having a child with somebody or marrying them in our current society? Well, marriage can be dissolved quickly at the courthouse. I mean, relatively quickly, depending how long it takes to divide up the assets. You have a child with somebody? I mean, I don't know. My sister is a single mom, so I've watched this. And you don't think of you don't think of all the ways that you're making a massive commitment having a child with somebody while trying to avoid the commitment of marriage. Like, for instance, you've got kids with the guy. He now lives across town. Had a great time cohabitating in your late 20s, and now you're gone your own separate ways. Couldn't make the commitment. Didn't want the long-term commitment. What do you have a commitment? You get an offer to get a great job promotion, but you got to move out of town, can't go. Got to stay where he is. He gets a job offer, opportunity, great job promotion out of town, can't go. Got to stay where she is. Your kids don't live in your house. So you're constantly fighting, if you care, to be a part of their lives. And so now, everything you do, every move you make, every decision you make in your new romantic relationship, you must consult with that dude you shacked up with in your 20s. Because he's their father. Now, I get marriages fail. I get that. I'm not talking about you if you're divorced. I'm not talking. You had a genuine, honest intent to make a marriage work. And for, reasons that are personal to you, it didn't. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the deliberate decision to have a child with somebody you're not willing to make enough of a commitment to marry. It seems to me like it's just the hardest way to do things. That is a bizarre mindset. You don't want to make a commitment to him or her. That's asking too much. Lifetime commitment. Can't do that. But you're going to have the lifetime commitment together of having a child. I think having a child is a bigger commitment than marriage. In so many ways. I mean, I shouldn't go too much in my family history. But, I know what it means. I mean, look at my brother. My brother volunteers as a lawyer, domestic services for these women. I mean, they are in court from the time the baby is born until the baby is 18 fighting the baby daddy. Fighting him for money, in other cases where he is involved, fighting over custody, literally people will spend thousands of dollars fighting over whether the kid gets to be on the basketball team or not. They'll spend thousands of dollars because one parent wants to move and the other one doesn't. It is a nightmare if you've ever seen it in court. Why would people do this? I don't get the mentality. Just from a practical standpoint, forget moral. We're way past moral. Why doesn't somebody tell folks this? Well, son, I loved your mom, but not enough to commit to her. You should have seen what else was out there. What? Gonna jump on the line, Lee, with Jan in Greenville. Hey, Jan.
Yes, good morning, Tara. I just wanted to comment that I couldn't agree more. And just wanted to point out a prime example, a poster child for your topic, and that's the actress Kate Hudson. Three children, three different guys, and she is absolutely glorified. People magazine, beautiful baby showers. And the racial component that I mentioned to the call screener was just imagine what we can and do call black women who are in exactly the same scenario and look what they're called.
Yeah, you're right. There's definitely a decent point to be made there in reverse, but you're right. They want this to become very mainstream across all races. This idea that you just don't marry your baby daddy. You just don't do that. And it's devastating. And, you know, I guess my opinion on this comes from watching my sister battle her, the father of her child all of his life. I mean, right now we're just in court. I mean, and it's not that either of them is a bad person. It's not that they just can't agree on how to raise the child. And so every disagreement is now fought out before a judge. Now, that can happen to you if you get a divorce. I get that. But you are absolutely signing up for it at the time of conception when you make the decision to get pregnant out of marriage. It's brutal. It'll leave you poor. It'll leave you feeling helpless. It'll leave you fearing for the safety of your child when the other person in the relationship decides to go a different parenting route than you do. I mean, it is a nightmare. I don't know why anybody would choose it.
Well, I do, and I think the two or three components are, number one, abject female self-centeredness.
Yep.
Females who are convinced that someone is going to bail them out or save them, i.e., you know, maybe another man, another relationship for the 16th time. They don't care about the kids. They say they do. They live in these cubicles at work and have all the pictures as a shrine. And then the third is women simply don't take their lives seriously. They just don't. They don't care anymore. I saw it as far back as the 1970s. Someone will bail me out, and it's just abject selfishness.
Yep. I agree. And I also think the idea that, well, now we're going to reverse. We're not going to make a lifelong commitment to marry, but we'll make the lifelong commitment to raise a child together. Let me tell you what, you think you don't want to be looking at that person 30 years from now? Well, good luck, because you're going to be standing there at your daughter's, you know, whatever together. You know, maybe it's the kids' concert, you know, whatever it is. I mean, that person will be in your life forever. If you can't stand them enough to marry them, how are you going to feel spending having to see them for an entire lifetime as they're part of your child's life? And that's if you have a good relationship. I mean, if you're not willing to marry somebody, don't have a child with them. And I mean deliberately. I don't mean an accident. I'm talking about making the deliberate decision to have a child with somebody. I can't imagine why you would choose that as an easier way. It is the harder way. I have seen it. It is a nightmare. Did you hear those stats, Lee? They're stunning.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know which stuns me more. 40% of U.S. births are now out of marriage. Or the fact that in Europe, where they're a little ahead of us on this, European Union, 60% of births now take place outside of marriage. 60. So, I mean, if you're born a married couple, you're in the minority now.
Yeah, and that's, quite honestly, that goes to explain a lot of the problems that we have in this society and our culture. And this is one of the problems that you, similar problems in Europe, because you have the same cultural situation. You know, I'm sorry, there is something to be said for traditional marriage between a man and a woman, and that's what you do first, and then you have children, and you both support each other and support the child. And that's there's a reason why God made it that way.
I mean, if the thought is, I'm not going to commit now, just have the child. I want the child now. I won't commit now. Because, I mean, something better might come along. No, I mean, you are stuck with that person. That person you have a child decide to have. I'm talking about deciding to have a child. I'm talking about accidentally getting pregnant and deciding to have a child. I'm talking about deliberately deciding, hey, let's conceive a child.
There's a certain way to avoid that, too.
Yeah.
A very certain way to avoid that.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to commit to him. Something better might come along. He's going to be in your life. You are going to be dealing with him or her on a daily basis forever and ever. And then once the child hits 18, it's still not over. Because guess what? Now you got grandkids together. You know what I mean? You're going to have to be at Thanksgivings and Christmases. I mean, you are never going to get away from that person. So if you can't stand them enough to marry them, don't have a child with them.
Yes.
It is going to complicate your relationship with the person you are waiting for.
You know, and it's
in a major way.
It's one thing for Kate Hudson, who is independently wealthy.
Yes.
To do stuff like that. It is a complete another thing. Even if you are upper middle income, try doing that on your own and you will quickly become lower income.
Having seen this in my family, okay, my family member who is a single mom was with the guy that she had the baby with when she had him. And so that was everything fine. But that doesn't last, right? So guess what? She has had to live at home with, you know, my nephew her whole life. She's in her 40s and she hasn't gotten out because she can't. And she has a good job. She works for a bank.
Mm-hmm.
But what people don't understand, on one income, it is so hard. Yeah. I mean, you know how hard it is on two?
Yes.
You are paralyzed. I mean, one, she had a condo at one point. She had a business that was successful. And then what do we have? A little economic downturn? Well, in a couple, you've got two people out there in the market, two people fighting, two potential jobs. One of you gets fired or laid off. There's still the other one. You're going to survive. There's just one. There is no room for error. It is incredibly, incredibly difficult. And, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this person will stick around because they say they will today, ask him if he'll marry you.
Yeah,
that's how you'll know.
My wife's education career has certainly saved my radio habit.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Addiction.
It's not a job, it's a habit.
Exactly.
It's an unfortunate habit, right?
Exactly. It certainly doesn't pay well.
Yeah. Okay. Julia in Spartanburg wants to tell us about the other side. Now, Julia, you have had three children out of wedlock on purpose.
Yes.
Okay. Why have you done that?
We call each other husband and wife, but mm-hmm. we're not legally married. But my husband, he never really saw a healthy marriage growing up. And so from his perspective, marriage is kind of like a kiss of death. So we're married, but we're not married.
So
that's kind of where we're at, is that he feels that involving the government in our relationship is going to, like, basically destroy it.
Okay, so this is, you've had all three children with your significant other?
Yes.
Okay. Do you wish he would marry you? Would it be wonderful if one day he just got down on one knee and popped the question, or you don't care about that?
Truthfully, personally, yes. I would love to marry him, and it would be fantastic, but I also understand his perspective and respect his perspective.
I'm curious, Julia, because for me, that would be a little scary thing to have a child with somebody who won't commit to me for life, just in terms of, like, I need your commitment that you're going to be there for that. Were you a little worried about that? I mean, what has he said or done that makes you feel like he's committed to being there and helping him? I mean, three kids is a huge, huge, you know, load to haul. I know, because I'm doing it myself, you know, potentially by yourself. Has he promised to be with you for life? Do you have an agreement like that? Or I'm just kind of curious.
So we the conversations we've had is, like, they're about, like, where we want to be. And every time we talk about it, it's making long-term decisions together and effectively, you know, working through any problems that we have or any kind of situation that we have going on together in the same way that a marriage would institute, just without having the legal governmental influence in it as well.
You said he sounds like kind of a libertarian, Julia, like he doesn't, you know, want to involve the government. What about just a civil ceremony where you don't have anything signed, just to make that lifetime commitment? I can't judge you because I don't know you. I don't know your circumstance. Maybe you have a better partnership than I do. I don't know that. But I would want someone to say to me, just as a human being, like, I want you for life. I love you that much. And it would hurt me on a level.
He has.
Okay. So you have got that.
Yes.
So that
he has said those things.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, is it kind of like between you? I mean, not written, but like a formal commitment between you, like he has pledged to be there for life, or he kind of just says, hey, babe, I see us growing old together. Is it kind of like that, or?
I mean, he hasn't, like, stood on the rooftop and shout that I'm going to be with this woman for the rest of my life, but it's every time we talk about where we want to go for the future, he includes me in his plans, and he asks my opinion on what I want, and takes me into consideration when we're making any kind of decision about what to do for our children or what to do for our future goals and whatnot. So it's really kind of like an action based
thing rather than
evidence based. Like through his actions, he has demonstrated that he wants to be with us forever, or forever being relative as long as we're alive. And we have actually spoken, just recently we've spoken about marriage, and it's an institution that just really scares him. Not committing to me, but specifically the idea of marriage, the title. the legal title.
I got to tell you, Julia, what you're describing, I can't judge you because I'm not in your relationship every day, so it would be wrong for me. But the way you describe that, well, you know, he considers me in these long-term conversations. That sounds to me, that would hurt me. That sounds to me like accepting less. It sounds to me like a second place status, maybe because I'm married. I don't know. But I hope that, you know, given that in your heart that you really wish he would commit to you, I hope that you guys get there someday. It's a beautiful thing. There is a feeling after a marriage, even if you've been with someone forever, like I have been with my husband before I married him. We were friends for many years. I mean, there's this beautiful feeling of, you know, yeah, we were already like an old married couple, but boy, once you say the words, there's a different feeling there. I can't describe it. It changed everything, and I didn't think it would. I hope someday, Julie, because you want that you get to have it. Because it's an awesome, awesome, awesome. It's a beautiful thing. I hope that. But I don't want to judge you, Julie. I don't want to do that because I don't know your life. But it's tough, isn't it? Wow, text line has exploded with advice for Julia. Text writes, the mom of three is bought into what her guy has dished out. She will always wonder if her attitude, her looks, their financial strain will be the tipping point for him to leave her with three kids. Something about being the one he chose or she chose and knowing that. It's a psychological thing with marriage. I struggle to define it. We'll pick this up again tomorrow. We got lines loaded. And unfortunately, the show is over. They take the mic away from me. But I'll pick it back up tomorrow. Thanks for playing.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.